The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
And you know, I'm taking this from John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan, talking about offense and how offense can create all kinds of problems in the body of Christ, in individual lives and in churches. I've seen offense split churches. It happens. So this morning, I want to try to just kind of jump right in where I left off last time. We're probably talking about a series of about six or seven more messages in regards to this. On this line, it's going to take a while, but it'll be worth it. I really believe it. I believe it's timing, and God wants us to recognize the schemes that the enemy has against, and he has these things designed. The wiles of the devil is what the Word of God calls them, and they're schemes. They're schemings that the devil sets up, traps that he sets up for people to fall into. And if we are wise as serpents and harmless as doves, we will be able to discern those schemes, those traps that are set up before us. The enemy is very wise. He's ancient. He has ancient wisdom. And what I'm trying to tell you is that he's been around for a long, long time. He was in the presence of God. Many scholars believe that he was a worship leader. And being in the presence of God, he has supernatural insight and understanding into things that we do not. And one of the things he's able to do through his demonic realm and his demonic forces is he is able to study every person and know exactly what it takes to trip you up, to stop you, to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. That's why we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. We have to rely on the Word of God. We have to rely on the leading of God Himself to keep us from falling into those traps. Because if we try to do it with just worldly wisdom, we're going to fall. We're going to falter. We're going to be trapped. But we can overcome. There's absolutely no doubt about it. We have been given the power of God living inside of us. Supernatural power. To be able to discern what is going on around us and be able to stop and keep from falling into those traps that the enemy establishes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So right there, you know, I could probably preach a whole sermon right there from that point, right from that point, that scripture, that verse alone. We are in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. Paul said we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in heavenly places, high places. Spiritual wickedness. All these things that we battle against it. And I believe he's giving us an order of the spirit realm to recognize that the enemy is very well organized. And he has rank. And he has authority. And he passes that authority on and passes it down to his principalities and powers. And his demonic forces that walk in this earth, in this earthly realm. And those forces will try and are always constantly trying to stop God's people. Their desire is to get in somehow into your life so they can keep you. And one of the things they use is offense. And it's widely used in the body of Christ. So we're not battling against flesh and blood. For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds, the Greek word there is fortresses. They're mighty to pull down a fortress that the enemy has established or set up in your life to keep you bound up. The word of God and the power of God, the spiritual power that we have, the weapons that we have, can break down the walls that the enemy has built up in your life. And he builds things up in people's lives. Sometimes we allow him. Sometimes it's wounds that have taken place in our life that we had nothing, was not involved in it directly. It just happened to us. But these things build up fortresses and strongholds. And God wants us to know that we have weapons that can take those things down. We have the power of God that can pull down those strongholds. Just like the walls of Jericho came falling down, those walls can fall down in your life. And you can be free. You can step out over top of the rubble and come out a free person in Jesus' name. Strongholds, fortresses. Paul goes on to explain, casting down arguments. Or arguments here as false reasoning, some. Literally speculations. I think we all understand, it's particularly an offense, how this happens, that someone will say something to us, or do something, and immediately we're offended. And if we're not careful, we start thinking and speculating on what they meant and why they did that, and this thing becomes a monster before you know it. Have you all been there? Been there, haven't we? Come on, we're all human. So we start speculating, and that's what Paul's saying here. Listen. You can cast down these speculations, but you have to learn that you have some power and authority here as a believer in Jesus Christ to get a hold of that thing and stop it. You can be set free in the name of Jesus Christ and delivered and have a wall broken in your life. And unless you know how to use the Word of God to guard yourself, you'll get right back in that bondage again. Got to have the Word. You've got to use the Word. You've got to understand how freeing it is and how powerful it is. Strongholds are reasonings and thoughts. They're the thought processes that are contrary to the will of God for your life. Now, what I'm trying to point out to you in this teaching is that when we talk about the mind, we are talking about a lot in regards to you as an individual. We're talking about more than just your thoughts. Your thoughts happens in the brain. But when you talk about the mind, we're talking about your will and your emotions and you as a person. You know, who you really are. You as a complete being, psychologically and physically. Now, last week I mentioned to you that Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she is South African, I believe, and she has studied the brain for 25 years. And one of the things that she found out through her studies and imaging is that there's actually images that take place in the brain, in a person's brain, when you have thoughts. And the good thoughts and positive thoughts look like healthy trees growing up. And when you think on those things, you add to that healthy tree, and it just continues to grow. But negative, nasty thoughts look more like briar bushes. Now, this is kind of strange, but this is the way God created us. There is negative connotation. So when you have a negative, evil thought, that bright, nasty, I think of it as multiple rose, because, you know, I see a lot of that stuff around here and how nasty. If you ever get in that stuff, it grabs a hold of you and will not let go. It was touted as something good for our area. It's not. If you have property, you know you have to dig that stuff out, get rid of it, and burn it, and whatever you can do to get rid of it. Hallelujah. So anyhow, when we start thinking about the mind and how that works, we begin to realize that our thought process is very important. That's why Paul was teaching us about how capturing our thoughts and recognizing how the negative thought can get a hold of you. And it will continue to grow just like a positive thought. You've got to learn to program yourself properly and not let the enemy have inroads into your life. Listen, this is not an easy task. If you have been all your life, you've learned to program yourself in a negative way, you have to battle against this. I truly believe there's supernatural power to set people free from these kind of things. However, you've got to learn the proper battle mode. You've got to get in the proper stance. You've got to use the proper weapons. And you've got to learn. It's a learning process. It's something that you have to work through in the name of Jesus Christ, because the Word of God is powerful and it cuts. And it will cut if you can stand on the Word of God. If you can take the Word of God and replace it with those negative thoughts, it will change your life completely, totally. Remember, Hebrews 12:15 tells us to be careful not to plant roots of bitterness. Now, here's what I think I mentioned this to you. I just do a little bit of review here on this, but I've talked about offense. I believe offense is a seed. When you're offended, if you're not careful, you'll let that seed be planted. It'll be planted in your thoughts. And that seed will put down roots. And roots are, the Word of God calls it the root of bitterness. And roots is where the plant gets its nourishment. And it actually, in the root will then grow up out of that root fruit. And the fruit of offense and bitterness is hatred. And as hatred rots on the vine, because it will rot on the vine, it becomes unforgiveness. I'm teaching you a process that just happens like this in our life. It's something that just, all, if we're not careful, it's over and over and over and over and over. It'll happen, and it happens so rapidly, and we get into the habit of allowing it to happen that it just overtakes our life. But when we get to that point of unforgiveness, listen, you are truly in bondage. Jesus taught that in the parable of the unforgiving servant, that if you would not forgive your brother, you would be turned over to the tormentors. Now, I don't know exactly what the tormentors are, but I'm sure it's not a good thing. I know this, the tormentors were people that were set up to torture people in the prisons during that time and make their life miserable. Now, here's what we do. If we hold people in bondage, or we think we're holding them in bondage with unforgiveness, and we allow it to go that far in our life, then we are the ones that are in the bondage. We're the ones that are tormented. Because I can tell you, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're tormented day and night. That person may be going on about their business and they don't even know that you're being tormented. And you'd like to do something to torment them, but you're the one that's being tormented. You've got to release that. You've got to let go of that. You've got to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver you from that. And He will. But you've got to cry out to Him. You've got to recognize His power. You've got to release that person. And I want you to understand something. It doesn't always mean that you're going to feel like you forgive that person. It means you walk in the forgiveness. You walk in it every day. All right. Glory. That was just a little extra thrown in there for you. Amen. Okay, back to Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. I love that, because into the obedience of Christ. We can bring every thought into the obedience. This is exactly what I was talking to you about earlier. We can capture those thoughts and we can bring them into the obedience of Christ. The Word of God says we have the mind of Christ. It's not just our mind, who we are. We have the mind of Jesus Christ. Glory. That's exciting to know, because there's power in that. But if we allow the offense to get in, it becomes an infected wound in our life. And it becomes very painful, as I was just expressing to everybody, how painful it can become. You're in torment. You're tormented day and night. But it gets in the blood. You realize that? It's like a wound that is not being cared for properly. And eventually gets blood poisoning. And when sepsis gets in the bloodstream, it's painful. It could be a very painful way to die. You'll carry it for a long time. It just doesn't happen overnight. But it's painful, and you know it's coming because you can see it. You can see it going up your body, up your arm, up your leg, whatever. Here are the most common signs of blood poisoning. Now, I want you to hear this, because I believe we can say, when I'm offended, I kind of have those same kind of symptoms. Rapid heartbeat. How many have ever had a rapid heartbeat when you felt like you were offended? Come on, people, we're real here. It happens. Shaking. It depends on what the offense is, but I've been offended to the point where it made me shake. You know, the person could see it. Rapid rise or decline in body temperature. Flushed skin. Mental confusion and impairment. If you're offended, you are confused and impaired in your thinking. It'll get in the way of thinking clearly and doing God's will and thinking the way God wants you to think. Now, here's what, just kind of wrap this part of it up. I believe that the brain is our physical link to our five senses to deposit positive or negative material into our spirit realm. And the Bible many times refers to that as the heart, into our spirit. And when it gets into our spirit, when thoughts are deposited into our spirit, it becomes a part of what we're referring to as our mind, of who we are. And it just becomes a part of us. And then our actions and our behavior are influenced by these things. Listen, this is exactly what Jesus taught. Listen to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. You can turn there if you want. 34 and 35. He was speaking to the religious order of the day, the Pharisees, the most religious people on the face of the earth that time. And they were very religious. They didn't have a relationship, but they were religious. How can you, he said, brood of vipers, he said, listen, you nasty snakes, you poisonous vipers. It wouldn't be very nice to have somebody talk to you like that, would it? You see, let's get something very clear. Jesus Christ is full of love, but he did not play games with people. When somebody was a poisonous viper, he told them about it. When they were a whitewashed tomb, he told them about it. He got them straightened out. And he did not patty cake with anybody. That's right. You know, can you imagine going to one of the largest churches in the United States and walking up to the pastor and saying, "You are a poisonous viper." Or having that person come to you in the street and ask you a question, and the first thing you say to them is, "You're just a whitewashed tomb. You're a grave that looks good on the outside, but you're empty. You're shallow." Wow. I don't talk to people like that. However, Jesus had the authority to do so. And he said, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the inside of you, what's been planted inside of you and has grown up inside of you, that's where you speak from. "And good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." If it's in there, it's going to come out. And the Greek word treasure means your storeroom, your treasure box, your wealth, what is stored up because you value it. It's what you've allowed in. You have put great value on it. So I just want to say this. Through my study, I've concluded that the brain is where the wounds of life either are controlled and captured, or we allow them to be deposited into our spirit man and become a part of our life, in our heart, and it grows up. And we begin to act on it and talk because of it, speak words. Good news is we can be set free. The good news is there's power in the Word of God to help us capture our thoughts, help us do the right thing, help us plant the right kind of thoughts. You know, psychology has known some of these things for a long time, but these are the kind of things that Jesus Christ taught long before there was any psychologists, or at least like we know. But one that is a famous psychologist by the name of Carl Jung, he emphasized the importance of balance and harmony. He cautioned that modern people normally rely too heavily on science and logic. How many would recognize that we have a society that it relies heavily on science and logic? There's no doubt about it. Now, this is a psychologist saying this. And he says that people would benefit from integrating spirituality and appreciation of unconscious realms. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I'm pretty sure Carl Jung wouldn't care what kind of spirituality you had. It could even be occult spirituality. He's just saying you need to have some kind of spirituality. In that realm, I would disagree with him. But his overall statement I have to agree with, because I believe what he is telling us is that we cannot just walk through this life in the physical realm and logically discern everything. If we as a church of Jesus Christ, all we ever do is do the logical thing, which you know we don't, right? Okay, if all we ever do is do the logical thing, we will just be a religious center. Yeah. Where people will come in, they'll sit down, they'll go through the motions, they'll get back up, and they'll go home and do whatever they want to do. I don't want to be a religious center. You see, if we rely too heavily just on the physical realm and the logical realm, we will become like thousands of other churches all across this nation and the world, that there is nothing there. They come in. People come into a boring place and they leave bored, and they come back the next week bored. And they get nothing. Or on the other hand, if all we ever do is rely on our emotions, our feelings, we'll just become a center of entertainment.
That's right, sir.
We don't want that either.
That's right.
We want the power of God. We want to see God moving in individual lives. We want to see people set free. I want to see healing. I want to see God set people free. I want chains to fall off people. I want the power of God manifest in individual lives. And I believe I serve a living God. I believe that when I say Yahweh, when I say God, when I say Father, my Father is listening. And when I pray for people, my Father is listening. When you pray for people, your Father is listening. Our Father is listening. The enemy is a liar. And he wants to destroy the kingdom of God. I do not want to stand by and allow that to happen. You see, what we have to do in this place is we've got to integrate our logical thinking with the supernatural realm of God. That means that we're not so flaky and so high-minded, so spiritually minded, we're no earthly good. But we don't get so physically minded that we can't tap into the spirit realm. A church without prophetic ministry, without prophetic utterance, without supernatural gifts operating is a dead church. You don't have to do anything. You can just come, sit, go home. It's all good. You know, we're all going to heaven. I used to sing that Barney song. I love you, you love me, we're all going to heaven, whoop-dee-dee. Isn't that, don't you think that's the attitude that we have today? A lot of people have. Whoopee. You know, yay, we're all good. It doesn't matter what you're doing, we're all good. You can do anything you want to do. Just come here on Sunday so we can have a lot of people.
Well,
you know, just so I can fill up these pews.
Yeah.
You come here on Sunday. And then you can just go do whatever you want. Come on, there is sin.
Yes, sir. That's
right. Sin is destroying the church. God's people must recognize that we serve a living God that requires holiness and righteousness before Him. He makes you righteous. I'm not telling you that you have to live by a whole list of rules. But I am telling you this. Your God requires you to be close to Him, to love Him. And I believe we're entering in a time in this earth right now. We're in it where you had better get your life as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as you can. Jesus is coming back soon. My Savior, my Lord. And I'm excited to know that.
Hallelujah.
Anticipating the fact that He is coming back. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
But in the meantime, guess what He said? Occupy till I come. Amen. Do business till I come.
Amen.
Do it. Do what I've told you to till I come. So what we have to do is we have to live every day as if Jesus is coming back on that day. But plan the kingdom of God far enough in advance that next year, next 10 years, or whatever, whenever Jesus comes back, whether it's 10 years from now or tomorrow, we're doing kingdom work. We're about doing His business. Hallelujah. Wow. Okay. See where I can pick up here. I got things all scrambled up there. Okay, so we've identified the mind at least in part as your conscious, your subconscious, and your unconscious. It's completely everything about you and who you are. Acts 24:16 says this. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. You see, we are supposed to strive never to offend anybody. So if you're one of those people that you don't care whether you offend people, you better be very careful. Because God has called us to be, as I said, we're to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We're not supposed to go around intentionally offending people. However, when you preach the Word of God and you tell people truth, some will become offended. That's not what this is talking about. You realize that offense is going to come because of the Word of God. It is going to happen. But we must be careful that we do not intentionally go around trying to offend people. But we must also understand why the enemy wants us to be offended. It's to take us out of the battle. You know, if you can be wounded, if you can have one of those wounds and you get blood poisoning, even if you do not die from it, guess what? It keeps you from doing what God has called you to do completely and totally. If you were wounded in war, you'd be taken, at least partially taken out of it. You would be ineffective in your duties. And that's what's happening in the body of Christ. We have this big thing that is moving across the body of Christ called offense, and people are being taken out of the body, taken out of the battle, taken out of their place. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Your enemy wants to devour anybody who will let him, and he will. Being sober means to be sober-minded, clear-headed, be restrained, be self-controlled, vigilant, stay awake, keep watch, be alert. And of course, the adversary is the accuser of the brethren. Be alert, be sober-minded, keep your mind on the things of God and on Jesus Christ. And be alert of what is happening. Let's see what time we got here. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to share just a little bit more with you. Turn with me to 1 John 3, verse 15. 1 John 3, verse 15. It says this: whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Those are strong words. If you hate, you're a murderer. Hate in the Greek means to be loveless or without love. Now, hate doesn't necessarily mean rage, does it? Have you ever encountered somebody that just very calmly said to you, "I hate so-and-so"? They weren't enraged by that person. Now, they may be from time to time, but they were controlling their rage. But if they truly meant what they said, it was burning inside of them. It was deep down in them. And if they had a chance, they would do harm to that individual. There's an Old Testament story. How many remembers the story of King David and his son Absalom? He loved Absalom. But there was problems in David's household. I don't believe David was a very good disciplinarian. He let his children run wild. So take note, parents. Keep your children under control. Absalom ended up dying because he rebelled against his father. But here's what happened. Absalom had two other siblings. One of them, at least, was by a different mother. Amon was Absalom's brother, David's son. And he fell in love with his sister, Tamar. And he seduced Tamar, and he raped her. Well, Absalom loved Tamar as a sister. Now, they may have been biological. Mother and father may have been the same with that. But anyhow, Absalom loved her and cared deeply for her, and he was enraged by this situation. And David
got mad, but did nothing about it. Now, as much as we love David and we preach these wonderful stories about David, David was a human being and he had his problems. Remember that when you go through issues and situations where you do something and you even cause problems for yourself. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And he committed adultery and murdered a man. And his family fell apart. Wow. He still loved God. Remember that. That's something we all need to recall. But anyhow, what took place in this situation is that Absalom was very upset. But here's what the Word of God says. It says that Absalom hated Amon, but he said neither evil, bad, or good to him. No one realized how enraged, how angry Absalom was with Amon. But the first chance he got, he killed him. The rage was there. So don't think that you can tell whether a person has hate in their inside of them based on whether they're showing the emotion of it or not. It could still be there. And I warn you, don't think that it's just, you know, if you're able to contain those feelings, that it's that you don't have some hate down in there. Yeah. Deal with that. Yes, don't let it eat you up. Right. Jesus said you're a murderer. If you allow it to continue. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'd just like to end our service this morning. If you would like to have special prayer for anything, doesn't matter. You know, maybe you have issues, things that I was talking about this morning, or you need prayer for anything else. I just want to give you the opportunity for that. We have some people that can come up and help me pray, and we'll just we'll pray for needs. I believe God wants His people free. And if you do feel like that you have some issues with unforgiveness, or even you've been offended and it's not gone that far yet and you need some healing, we just want to pray with you, and we will. But if you have other needs this morning, come so we can pray with you, and we can believe together that our God is going to minister to you. Let's do that right now.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited to be able to share this message with you. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about our ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.